Hello, dear friends. I hope that you're all doing well and staying safe. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's turn to God with a word of prayer. Our dearest Lord, we come to you this day from many places, some from joy and some from sorrow, some filled with hope, some filled with despair, each one so different, yet each one your child, wonderfully made. We pray this day for your healing of our brokenness, for your encouragement, your inspiration, and your direction going forward. May all be blessed and fed and united by your word and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that in thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I am needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. By faith, we see the world called into existence by God's word, what we see created by what we don't see. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God from Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. By an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. They looked all over and couldn't find him because God had taken him. We know on the basis of reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. By faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. He was warned about something he couldn't see and acted on what he was told. The result? His family was saved. His act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. As a result, Noah became intimate with God. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. And when he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him, lived as a stranger, camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant, old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do what he said. That's how it happened that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. And each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. And how do they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they're homesick for the old country, they could have gone back in time the way they wanted, but they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of what was ahead, that exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's here in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through, that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Well, my friends, this last week, our country began a new chapter. And as with any major change, there are those who are happy, those who are worried or disappointed, those who are angry. But as we look to the future, I think we'd all just like the drama to end and for us to be able to get back to some sort of normalcy in life, whatever that may look like now. Well, today's scriptures remind us that we live in a world of continual change. We always have. And we always will. But that's no reason to be discouraged. Like our ancestors before us, we struggle, even as we're encouraged to hang in there. Today's scripture reminds us, as it says, each one of those people of faith died, not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. And how did they do that? They saw it way off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. We often forget that we too are transients in this world and that our time is very brief. But as we're reminded, we need to keep our eyes on the prize, our eyes on Jesus, and never lose our faith or our hope. And we're called to keep our eyes on Jesus to study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. And we mustn't lose sight either. We're told when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. And as I consider that story of Jesus, I'm reminded of Richard Gribble's retelling of Walter Wangerin Jr.'s moving story of the ragman, which I'd like to share with you today. It starts like this. "Rags, rags, give me your dirty old rag, and I will give you a new, clean, and fresh one. Rags, rags." That was the cry to which I awoke one bright, sunny Friday morning. I sprang from my bed and peered out of my second-story apartment window, and there he was, the ragman of our town. He was 6'4", if he was an inch, youthful in appearance, strong of build. I'd heard so much about him, but never actually seen him. I threw on some clothes, bounded down the stairs and out the front door of my apartment building, and I thought, this is my opportunity to see where he goes and what he does. I decided to watch at a distance. Well, the ragman pushed ahead his basket full of rags, and he continued his cry. "Rags, rags, give me your old tired and dirty rag, and I'll give you a fresh, clean, new one. Rags, rags." As the ragman pushed his basket of rags, he came across a young woman who sat on the front porch to her home. And even from a distance, I could see that she held a handkerchief to her face, which was swollen, and her eyes were red. She'd been crying. "Please," said the ragman to the young woman, "give me your old and soiled handkerchief, and I'll give you a clean and fresh one." Well, the woman looked at the ragman with a puzzled stare, yet she agreed to his request, and the ragman pulled out a clean and fresh linen handkerchief. And when the woman put the cloth to her face, something wonderful happened. Her face was no longer swollen, her eyes were no longer red, and she appeared happy, joyful. But when the ragman put the woman's handkerchief to his face, he began to cry. His eyes turned red and his face began to swell. And I was amazed by what I saw. The ragman continued on. He pushed his basket of rags ahead of him as he walked through the city streets. He came to the main square, and there on a park bench, he encountered another woman. She was older. Her clothes were dirty and torn. Around her head was a bandage from which blood oozed from a fresh wound. The ragman said to her, "Please give that old dirty bandage to me and I'll give you a new and clean one." And the woman looked at the ragman somewhat with disdain, yet there was something in what he said or how he said it that attracted her. So she took the bandage from her head and replaced it with the fresh one he'd given her. As she placed the new bandage on her head, the blood stopped. No longer was her face tortured with pain. And when the ragman placed the old bandage on his head, he began to bleed in the same place the woman had been injured. His face took on the look of one in pain. I continued to wonder what I saw. The ragman continued on, bleeding and crying. The ragman continued to push his basket of rags. He came upon the local town drunk, who was sleeping off his night at partying between two buildings in the center of town. The ragman approached quietly so as not to disturb the man. He pulled the old blanket from the man and covered him with a new and clean one. He also left a set of new clothes. And as the ragman wrapped the old blanket around him, he began to stagger and stumble as if he was the one who'd been drinking. And the ragman continued on. The ragman continued to push that cart, stumbling as he went, leaving a trail of blood and tears, and he came to the edge of town. There he encountered someone with whom I was not familiar. He must have been a new person in town. He was an older man with a tattered old jacket. He had only one arm. "Give me that old coat," said the ragman, "and I'll give you a new and clean one." The man readily agreed. After all, he was to get a new coat out of the deal. As the old man put on the new jacket, not one, but two arms came through, arms that were strong and youthful. But when the ragman put on the coat of the old man, only one arm came through. As I watched, I could not believe what I saw, and the ragman continued on. The ragman, bleeding now, crying, stumbling, and now with only one arm, continued to push his basket full of rags. At the outskirts of town, he found the local dump, and with his remaining strength, he pushed his basket through the gate and up the hill. And there in the middle of the garbage dump, he lay down to sleep. And as he slept, he died. From a distance, I found a safe haven in the front seat of an old abandoned vehicle in the dump. I began to cry, so powerful were the events that I'd witnessed. My tears put me to sleep, a deep and restful slumber. Friday was lost. Saturday passed without my knowing it. But the next day, Sunday morning, I woke to the most brilliant light. There before me stood the ragman. He had a small scar on his head, but both his arms restored. And he was dressed in the most glorious white clothes I had ever seen. Yes, he was the ragman of our town. He was the Christ. My friends, as I reflected on the scriptures and the story of the ragman this week, I could not help but think of the many, many ways Jesus took on the cares and concerns of all those he encountered during his time on earth, how he took on their pain as his own, and how he continues to. There were no limits to his love, and his compassion extended even to those who would betray him and call for his death. And if we're to truly keep our eyes on Jesus and truly live as Jesus lived in this broken world, it means that we're not here to live in our own comfort or just be concerned for ourselves. We're here to live for others as Jesus did, even at a cost. And just as Jesus came and lived as a modest and humble servant, we too are called to live as modest and humble servants. We're reminded that Jesus accepted the reality of his fate. He knew what lay ahead, and yet he never ran from it. He could have, but he chose not to on our behalf. He chose instead to stay and continue to do what he could do to ease the suffering of others and to point them to a better way. Now think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, actually came among us as a human being, walking alongside us on our earth, living a very human life, and calling each one of us his brothers, his sisters. He didn't spend his time with the leaders or the wealthy or the powerful. He spent his time with those rejected and ridiculed and seen as having little or no value. And his oneness with us challenges us to find ways to do the same. It challenges us to live as one. Like Jesus, we too must care for those who are marginalized in our society, reaching out to the powerless and the poor, the forgotten. And we must never forget that Jesus chose to be one with us, and we in turn must find ways to build bridges, to be one with each other. Following Christ means finding ways to break down the barriers that separate us from each other and to actively seek to be sisters and brothers to all. Like those who've gone before us, we too are simply temporary visitors to this world. We too are called to live not for ourselves, but for others and for the well-being of all. We're all faced with an important choice. Will we be those who choose to help ease the suffering of others? Or will we be those who add to the suffering in the world? Will we be those who help share the light? Or will we be those who, out of fear or selfishness, choose the dark? No matter what adversity we face, my friends, may our faith stay strong. May we never forget whose we are, and may we never give up or give in. Let us pray. God of our future, hear our prayers. We confess that in spite of our best efforts, we fall so short of your plan for us. We confess that too often we live as if you're not even there, as if we alone are lords of our destinies. We confess that sometimes we give up too easily or settle for the good when you want to give us the best. Too often, in spite of good intentions, we live selfishly, focused on our own needs, even when it causes others to suffer. Forgive us, Lord. Break through our hard-headedness and our stubborn resistance. Quell our anxieties and strengthen our faith, whatever the fearful signs. Calm our fears. Give us focus. Help us to live fully in the hope handed down to us from our ancestors. On this day, we pray for all your people, even as we pray special prayers for our leaders and the future of our country. We pray that in spite of our differences, we might find ways to come together and heal our brokenness. We pray for an end to this pandemic. Lord, even as we pray for all those providing care and healing and all those providing essential services, even at a risk to themselves, we pray for those impacted in so many ways with so many losses too numerous to count. We pray for families, for teachers who are struggling with endless challenges. We pray for the lost and the lonely and the isolated and those who feel forgotten. We pray for ways to help, that no one might go hungry, that no one might be without shelter or essentials in this time of great need. We pray for wisdom and compassion and a willingness to follow where you lead. God of our future and God of our hope, hear our prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So now, may you go in God's love, and God's mercy, and God's strength. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And God bless you.